This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, April 27th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O @sportstalknetwork.com. We got a lot to do today, and we're going to have a special guest at 12:20, so we'll save the NHL games, the two game sevens, and the next four playoff rounds. A discussion of that for 12:20. So we'll start last night at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. The NFL draft. Now, of course, no surprises. One and two, as everybody kind of knew weeks ago, if not months ago, that it was going to be Andrew Luck, the number one pick for the Indianapolis Colts, Robert Griffin III, the Heisman Trophy winner, as the Washington Redskins pick at number two. But after that, a number of trades yesterday. The key one being the Browns moving up from number four to number three, and you ask why, but we'll get into that in a second. The Browns move up from four to three, switching spots in the draft with the Vikings, so the Browns could take running back Trent Richardson. They have to give up, obviously, their first-round pick, and that was just the Vikings and the Browns flipping picks three and four. But the Browns also gave up three late-round picks to the Vikings to move up to number three to be sure they'd get the running back from Alabama, Trent Richardson, who looks like he's going to be a big time player. But the reason that happened is because there were rumors, and at least in New York, that the Jets were one of the teams that were thinking about moving up to number three in the draft to take Trent Richardson. Now, were the Jets really going to do that? Seems strange that they would move up from 16 to three just to take a running back. But those were the rumors. The Browns were fearful enough to make the trade. They did make the trade. They get Trent Richardson at three. The Vikings then picking at number four took the USC tackle Matt Khalil. And then the Jaguars move up from seven to five, switch with Tampa Bay. They take Justin Blackmon, who's going to be a killer, a wide receiver in the NFL. He's from the Oklahoma State wide receiver. Dallas then moves up from 14 to number 6, trading with the Rams, giving up their number 1 pick and their number 2 pick to move up to number 6 to get Maurice Claiborne, who's a lockdown corner from LSU. Tampa Bay then takes Alabama safety Mark Barron with the number 7 pick. And then another interesting pick, and we'll stop at 8 and talk a little bit. The Miami Dolphins looking for a quarterback. Take Ryan Tannehill, the Texas A&M quarterback, and that's an interesting pick for a number of reasons, not the least of which is Mike Sherman, his former coach at Texas A&M, is now the offensive coordinator for the Dolphins. One other thing I wanted to mention, the Browns, and I followed the Browns. I spent some time in Cleveland. You know, I really thought with Peyton Hillis they had a running back of the future and they could really make some noise. Of course, Hillis had some problems with management. He was sick. He was injured. He's now a free agent, so he's gone. But the Browns at number 22 wound up taking Brandon Whedon, and he's that 28-year-old quarterback from Oklahoma State who was throwing to Justin Blackmon all year long, and then immediately announced that they were at least going to shop Colt McCoy, who right now is their starter. McCoy only 6-15 as a starting quarterback. So it looks like they want to bring Brandon Whedon in quickly to start for the Cleveland Browns. And again, I thought the Browns had something going. It all fell apart with this Peyton Hillis thing, among other things. They had some injuries as well. But the Browns really did have a good first round, I thought. The other team that I thought had a great first round is who else but the New England Patriots. Patriots rarely trade up in the draft, but they traded up to pick at 21 and 25. With 21, they took the Syracuse defensive end Chandler Jones, who was injured last year but is going to be a very good pro, and especially now when you drop him into Belichick's scheme. Obviously, their defense has not been up to par. Obviously, they thought they had to shore up their defense, and even with a weaker defense, I thought their defense was average by the end of the year, slightly above average. Most people thought it was worse than that. But now they get a defensive end in Chandler Jones who can rush the quarterback. And with 25, they pick up Alabama inside linebacker Dante Hightower, who could also rush the passer if he has to. So I think those are two guys who you're going to see in the Patriots lineup immediately on their defense, as they obviously had to shore up their defense, and that's exactly what New England did. Another team that I thought had a good draft in the first round was Tampa Bay. They did get Mark Barron, the safety from Alabama, who was their main pick, but they also picked up late in the first round Doug Martin of Boise State, who is a very good running back. I know the Giants wanted to draft him at 32. Tampa Bay got him at 31, which forced the Giants to take David Wilson at running back. So an interesting first round of the NFL draft. Again, I don't really, it's hard to give grades. Everybody will give a grade now, but you really never understand what kind of draft you had. If it's not good, you won't know for a couple of years. If it's really good, obviously you know in the first year when these players come in and have an impact. Now, as between Luck and RG3, Washington is clearly a better team with a better core than Indianapolis. Indianapolis blew up their whole team, essentially. And now they're going to build around Andrew Luck to see if he can, in fact, become the next Peyton Manning. Boy, those are big shoes to fill. But Andrew Luck has all the tools, and he's better athletically than people thought he was. They're going to obviously build around him. They've cleaned house in terms of the front office and the coaches. But Andrew Luck is the next big thing in Indianapolis. But RG3 in Washington seem to me to have a better chance to be better immediately. You've got Mike Shanahan in place. Whatever you think of the Redskins last year, they did beat the Super Bowl champion Giants twice. They only won four games. Now you put an explosive quarterback like Robert Griffin III in there, and clearly Washington will be a better team this coming season than the Indianapolis Colts. But again, I don't want to give grades, but knowing New England, and unfortunately I watch every one of their games because my son's a big fan, knowing New England like I do, but really common knowledge in the league, their offense is off the charts, their defense has not been good now for a couple of years. They made it to the Super Bowl and almost won the Super Bowl, and their defense did play better. Again, people who say their defense was terrible all year weren't really watching. They did improve throughout the year, but clearly Belichick understood he needed help. And you could argue he needed help in the defensive backfield as well, and maybe they'll address that at another time. But yesterday, at least with respect to their front seven, they got two guys who might very well step in and start on that team, Jones and Hightower. And I think that immediately puts New England, they would have been and probably are one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl next year as well. But the AFC, to me, not as strong as the NFC. And the NFC East is going to be particularly strong with the Eagles. You know, people forget they were going to be the super team last year. They wound up 8-8, winning their last four. If they could have snuck into the playoffs, they could have won the Super Bowl. But the Giants won the division at 9-7, and they did win the Super Bowl. You have the Cowboys, who are always going to be talented, and they pick up an exceptional corner in Maurice Claiborne out of LSU. That division of that conference is going to be very, very tough. And again, the Redskins are going to improve. So when you look at it now, I think you look at Philly, Dallas, the Giants, and even Washington, you say, wow, all four of those teams can make a run at the playoffs. Now, Washington's in the biggest hole. They did only win four games last year. But again, they pick up arguably what could be a 10-year quarterback, and I think he will be. I think Griffin's the real deal because he can run it, but he can throw it as well. And he's obviously a bright, dedicated kid. If you heard any of the interviews with him, you know how smart he is. You know how dedicated he is. Oftentimes they were talking about how, you know, Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning, history says that one of these two quarterbacks will be a dud, but I don't think that's the case with these two guys because, frankly, Luck looks like your quintessential throwback NFL dropback quarterback who can make plays with his legs, but really as a last choice. Robert Griffin can really throw it, and he can really run it as well, so he's going to cause all kinds of problems for defenses in the NFC East and, of course, in the NFL throughout. So I think both of those guys are going to make it. I'll be shocked if in 2 or 3 years we'll say one of them was Peyton Manning and one of them was Ryan Leaf. That would be very surprising. But again, when you're looking at drafts, don't get too carried away. You can have all the experts say everything they want about an A, a C, a D, an F for this draft, but you never really, really know. Again, you might know earlier if it's good, but you never know if it's really bad. And, you know, you can go back to the Giants with Eli Manning. There were always questions about Eli Manning. They gave up a lot to get him instead of Phillip Rivers. And, you know, flash forward now and look, Eli Manning is the questions are now correctly, should the guy be in the Hall of Fame, as he was able to beat the New England Patriots 4 years ago when they were unbeatable, and this year where they were at least favored. The Giants were able to beat the Patriots on two different occasions. So you go from Brady and Belichick being the greatest of the greatest of the greatest, 3-0 in Super Bowls, now 3-2, and then you go to a Tom Coughlin almost getting ready to lose his job allegedly last year, and Eli Manning, did he peak 4 years ago? Could he win the big one? And, of course, they became, both of them, borderline Hall of Famers, if not Hall of Famers, with their second victory over the seemingly unbeatable Patriots. So, again, I just use Manning as a perfect example of a guy. If you looked at him 1, 2, 3 years after he was drafted, you would have said, oh, what a mistake, and many did. What a mistake the Giants made. Manning, not a glitter guy. Eli Manning, not a glitter guy. But obviously now a two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback, well on his way to the Hall of Fame. So, again, look at these draft picks. Not with a shaded eye, but just with an eye towards understanding whatever grades you hear from anybody, I don't care who they are. You really have to take them with a grain of salt because you're not really, really going to know until these guys have played a few years. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. It's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. What's new?
I'll tell you what's new, but you've got to promise to keep it a secret. I don't want this to get back to my customers at the spa.
Now I've got to know. Come on, tell me.
I found this skin cream called Esotique that's simply amazing for my dark circles, brown spots, and wrinkles. All my customers are asking me what I'm doing for my skin, so I just tell them I had plastic surgery. If they find out about Esotique, they're going to stop coming to my spa.
Esotique will tackle your dark circles, wrinkles, and age spots, leaving you with young and radiant skin. The results will astonish you. Call now for your risk-free supply of Esotique. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854. Say goodbye to dark circles, age spots, and wrinkles. Supplies of Esotique are limited, so call now. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com. Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
flooring with high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you could stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get right to the NHL. We're going to go through the big game sevens from yesterday. First of all, we had the Ottawa Senators going down to the Garden to play the Rangers in game seven. Exciting game. Craig Anderson against the King, Henrik Lundqvist. Rangers, the number one seed against Ottawa, the number eight seed. Of course, that meant nothing. Vancouver, the number one seed, was already eliminated. An excellent game, back and forth, scoreless first period. In the second period, Mark Stahl of the Rangers scores the first goal on a fantastic pass from Derek Stepan. 1-0 Rangers. Later in the period, Dan Girardi scores a goal from a great pass from Brandon Dubinsky, 2-0 Rangers. Then Daniel Alfredson scores on the power play for Ottawa, 2-1. Rangers hold on. Big rush by Ottawa in the third period. Lundqvist made four or five saves that were fantastic to preserve the win for the Rangers. And again, this was more about the Rangers advancing. Had they lost this game, they had a well-rested Lundqvist. They had improved a little, just a little, on the power play in the playoffs. Craig Anderson played out of his mind, but it wasn't enough as the Rangers win Game 7. Rangers 2, Ottawa 1. Rangers fortunate to win the series, but they do win the series. And we're going to bring in right now Brian Monzo of the NHL Network and WFAN. Writes a great hockey blog for WFAN.com. Brian, I know you're busy. Thanks for giving me a few minutes on the Steve Callis Show. How are you?
I'm feeling good today. I'm a little giddy.
Okay, I know you're a Ranger fan. I just gave really kind of just the goal highlights of the Ranger game, but give me your sense. I thought the Rangers were fortunate to win, but they did win, and I guess in the NHL that's all that matters.
Well, the way I look at it as is they played the game they played all season. You know, basically this entire round seems just like an extension of the regular season, the way these games are played. Probably a lot more intense than people anticipated, as the Rangers and Senators aren't a big rivalry, but in the playoffs, teams become rivalries. But I thought the Rangers, you know, were in prime position. When I thought they played a really quality game. Of course, there were some scares, and you knew that goalie Lundqvist was going to have to make some clutch saves late. He did. You know, but they blocked a ton of shots. They outworked the opponent. They outshot the opponent. They outhit the opponent. And that formula for the Rangers this season has been a potent one. And, you know, they have a day to relax. But, you know, business picks up again tomorrow.
My sense of it was they did have Lundqvist. He is well-rested. Nobody says the words Marty Biron anymore, but I thought he was obviously a key this year. They tried to do that last year to get Lundqvist more rest. It didn't work because Biron got hurt. Obviously, he's the forgotten man now. I don't think he should be forgotten, but obviously he won't play unless Lundqvist gets hurt. Is it your sense that Lundqvist is just more well-rested, or because this team was so much better as a team, the number one seed, coupled with his experience the last 5 or 6 years in New York, in the NHL, is this the combination now where the Rangers can make a run all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, I think it's just a combination. Yeah, exactly. A combination of everything he's just said. You know, he said he's been quoted as saying that he's felt more rested. He's more fresh right now. And, you know, it helps to have a team that blocks a million shots. But, no, I think he knows that there's a little more pressure on him this year to step it up. He's been criticized a little bit for his playoff performances in the past. And, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, every player has to throw away how they played in the regular season and kick it up a notch. And that's going to happen every round. As good as the Rangers played last round, they're going to have to pick it up another notch starting tomorrow. So, and I think Henrik knows that. And, you know, he's obviously a big-time goalie. He's been nominated for the Vezina and the Hart Trophy now. So it's, you know, the league is recognizing how well he's playing, and, you know, he was dominant for the most part throughout this series, and that trend's going to have to continue, and I don't see why at this point he wouldn't be up for that challenge.
I want to get to Devils-Panthers in a minute, but I did want to talk briefly about Craig Anderson, who I thought, you know, played an excellent series. Obviously, it was interesting to me right after they scored, right after the game ended, Anderson went right over to the exit, quickly wanted to get out, did get out. Obviously, somebody went and got him to come back for the handshake. Give me your thoughts on Anderson, and I didn't really hear much after the game because I was watching the Devils. Did he just forget? Was he just upset because they lost in 7 games, or did someone force him back onto the ice? What was happening with Craig Anderson in the series and at the end of Game 7?
No, you know, I noticed that he skated off. I didn't take it as anything personally. His pride school ticked, wanted to get his, you know, a helmet and equipment off and, you know, maybe a sip of water and, you know, go out there. And he went out there and was very personable with all the players and did an extended handshake with everybody. And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, obviously you want to be, you know, show some good sportsmanship, but, you know, you played a tough series, you know, lose by one goal. And, you know, you're obviously every player is a little disappointed losing. So I liked what he did. I liked the fact that he came back out and shook hands with everybody. It was very personal with the media. I was in the locker room with the Rangers. I didn't see him. I wasn't in the Senators locker room. It was a little tricky to get in there, but, you know, he played a great series. He's had some playoff success. He hasn't won a series before, but with the Avalanche a few years ago, he was, you know, a borderline miracle worker. So, you know, he's a good goalie. He's a journeyman starter, but he definitely gave the Senators a chance to win this series. And fortunately for the Rangers and their fans, they were just a little better.
We're with Brian Monzo of the NHL Network and WFAN. Brian, take me down now to Sunrise, Florida. We haven't talked about this game at all prior to you coming on the air. Devils at Florida Panthers, Game 7. Obviously, the view was the Devils with Brodeur and the experience, et cetera. But they did get off to the 2-0 lead and then blew the lead. Give me your sense of Game 7, New Jersey Devils, Florida Panthers.
Well, the game to me wasn't much of a surprise anybody, because the way this series has gone, a lead isn't safe. So I knew going into the third that the Devils weren't walking away with this one. The Panthers came back. They had a goal disallowed, but they were able to get two in. And, you know, the guy that has a lot to prove to me this year, not for his career, obviously, as he's probably the greatest goaltender of all time, Martin Brodeur had some critical saves late in the third and in overtime, allowing the Devils to capitalize on a goal in the second overtime and move on. And, you know, it was another battle of two teams that, you know, it was just who wanted it more. And I thought the Panthers surprised a lot of people, because even though they were the third seed and they won their division, they won a relatively weak division, and the Devils were favored even though they were the sixth seed. But I thought the Panthers came out and played them hard, and they have a young team, and they weren't expected to be all that good this season. But, you know, they gave the Devils a run for their money, and they were actually up in the series. And, you know, kudos to Martin Brodeur and, you know, young players like Adam Henrique for getting it done. And they're going to be a tough out for the Flyers, but that's going to be one hell of a series.
Yeah, and let's go to the series now. Obviously, we have eight teams left, four series. Let's stay in the East. Give me your thoughts on the Devils and the Flyers. Obviously, the Flyers, the higher seed, they'll have home ice advantage.
Yeah, that's a tough one to call. I mean, you saw how the Flyers played against the Penguins, and their offense was just dynamic. And Claude Giroux, who I thought got a little bit of a jip today from not being a nominee for the Hart Trophy, you know, really proved that he was one of the best players in the league, if not the world. You know, but the Penguins didn't play much defense, and the Devils do. So it's going to be a little different, and it's going to be a big challenge for Ilya Bryzgalov, who is, you know, a very quirky goaltender and gives up the weak goal, but it makes the big save at the same time. So, you know, I could see this one going the distance. And, you know, if you're a Ranger fan and if they're able to advance past the Capitals, you hope these two teams beat the living heck out of each other.
Right. And let's go to the other series in the East now. Number 7, Washington. Obviously, the Capitals in the Game 7, surprisingly to me, eliminated the defending Stanley Cup Bruins. Now the Capitals play the Rangers. Obviously, the Rangers, the number 1 seed with home ice advantage.
Well, what I like, where I feel comfortable with the Rangers is, the Capitals do not have as tight of a defense as the Senators, and the Rangers were able to create a lot of opportunities against the Senators, so I think, but they weren't able to convert, which has obviously been a problem for a long time. But I think the Rangers will have more chances to score against the Capitals, because their defense isn't as tight, they don't play as structured of a game, and you know, they're you know, kind of a up and down the ice team. And they have a rookie goaltender in Braden Holtby, who played very good against the Bruins. But, you know, when you have a rookie goaltender in there, the one thing you got to do is get in front of him, harass him, put as many shots on. And I think the Rangers right now, you know, they're obviously a very well-coached team. And Tortorella will make them do just that and, you know, shoot a million shots and get in front of the net. And obviously everybody's comfortable with the Rangers' defense. They block a million shots. And when they don't, they have a premier goaltender. So it's not going to be easy, but I could see the Rangers getting past the Capitals.
We have about 3 minutes left with Brian Monzo. Brian, let's go out west now. As I'm sure you know, game one tonight, the first game of the second round, the Predators at the Coyotes, Nashville the 4 seed, Phoenix the 3 seed. What do you see there out west in one of those two meetings?
Well, this is a wacky one in that, I don't know, did anybody see the Predators and the Coyotes guaranteed to be one of the teams in the Western Conference Finals? You know, the Coyotes, you know, with their ownership issues, they always seem to find ways to win. And Mike Smith right now is probably the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. The way he played that first round, he's just a great goaltender for the Coyotes. And, you know, I was very happy for a guy like Shane Doan to kind of to advance to the next round, you know, for the first time with the Coyotes. It was a good heartfelt story. Yeah, but the Predators approached the trade deadline. They added a bunch of pieces. It's Nietzsche and Gostad, and, you know, they have that big goaltender, Pekka Rinne, who just takes up, he's so big, he takes up so much of the net. It's difficult to score against them. And, you know, throw guys like Shea Weber and Ryan Suter in there, and Radulov, who was on their team, but they brought him back from Europe late in the season. That's going to be a tough series for the Coyotes. They don't score a ton of goals as it is. You know, so the Predators, to me, were a sleeper team going into the playoffs to possibly go to the finals. I think this going against the Coyotes is an easier route for them than anyone else.
And finally, the fourth series, the Kings, of course, the eighth seed, they beat Vancouver. A number of people picked the Kings to beat Vancouver. I didn't think that was going to happen, but now it's the number eight Kings against the number two St. Louis Blues. What are your thoughts on that series?
Well, this is going to be if you're not an avid hockey fan, if you're not locked into every game, you might find this series to be a tad boring because I don't expect there to be a ton of goal scoring. Both teams don't give up a ton. The Blues, you know, records for not giving up goals was ridiculous. And the Kings, granted, they give up a handful of opportunities. Jonathan Quick was just so dynamic this year, it's tough to get one by him. So it's tough for me to pick a winner of this series at this point. Obviously, the Blues, you know, were one of the best teams in the East, and the Kings were able to squeak in there. But I could see a handful of 1-0 games, you know, 0-0 going into overtime, which obviously for the mild hockey fan is not going to be all that exciting. But if you're a hardcore fan, you're really going to be into how tight and well-structured defensively these games are going to be played. I think it's going to come down to whoever scores first in these games, winning these games. I'm actually going to go on the limb here and see the Kings picking them off maybe in 6 or 7 games.
Wow. One final question for Brian Monzo of the NHL Network and WFAN. You mentioned it briefly, Brian. The Hart finalists came out today. The King, Henrik Lundqvist, Evgeny Malkin, of course, of the Penguins, and Stamkos, who I agree with you, as good as Stamkos is, a non-playoff team, I thought Giroux should have been the third guy. Who do you like? I have to think it's between Lundqvist and Malkin because Stamkos' team didn't even make the playoffs. Hard for me, just like in baseball, when A-Rod finishes last with Texas and wins the MVP. I don't see how you can pick an MVP of a non-playoff team, but give me your thoughts on the Hart Trophy winner.
No, you're right. You know, Stammer had a great year. You know, you can't argue with somebody who scores 60 goals.
Right.
You know, but it's going to be between Hank and Evgeny Malkin. And as much as I love Lundqvist and thought he had a great year and is really probably one of, if not the best goaltender in the league, what Malkin was able to do to propel the Penguins to where they ended up being without Crosby for the most part of the year. You know, he's a big body. He creates opportunity, he creates room, and scores a ton. Hard not to pick Malkin for the Hart Trophy this year.
Brian Monzo, thanks very much for your time. We'll do it again soon.
Looking forward to it, pal.
Thank you. That was Brian Monzo of WFAN and NHL Network. I encourage you to read his hockey blog at WFAN.com. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Men, do you know that your testosterone starts declining at 30 and keeps falling every year? Losing testosterone can lead to stress, mood swings, a negative outlook on life, and not to mention decreased sexual desire. That's why we created T-Gen to naturally help boost testosterone levels. T-Gen contains an ingredient proven to significantly increase healthy testosterone levels. So let's face it, as we age, it's harder and harder to keep up with the active lifestyle that we once had. But with T-Gen, it will be easier to relive those moments. So don't let aging be an excuse for a decreased sex drive and performance. And reclaim your zest for life today by calling 1-800-489-9266. For a risk-free supply, call 1-800-489-9266. And when combined with exercise, you'll gain muscle and lose fat. So start the changes today. Call 1-800-489-9266. 1-800-489-9266.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keibler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
We're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
TH121 is the world's first antioxidant-based anti-aging weight loss formula proven to provide dramatic results with absolutely no side effects. No jitters, no racing heart, no staying awake all night. This unique combination of antioxidants and natural metabolism enhancers create a powerful appetite suppressant that turns each cell in your body into little fat and sugar-burning factories. Call now and receive a free 30-day supply of TH121 free with your order. And that's not all. If you're one of the first 150 callers, you'll receive fitness celebrity John Basedow's newest DVD and Chamonix's amazing 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream absolutely free with your order. It's an $80 value. Now you don't have to choose between living longer or looking better. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204. Get a free 30-day supply, one free DVD, and a free 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream just by ordering right now. Results guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
And we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to the final day of the NBA season, set up those playoffs and the baseball first. Just a couple of miscellaneous notes. In the NFL, and even more importantly, I think, frankly, in college football, the BCS essentially announcing that in 2014, if you believe they have to wait that long, it's just preposterous. There will, however, be at least a 14 playoff finally, not 8, not 16, but at least there's going to be some kind of playoff. It's not clear where the games will be played. It's not clear how they'll pick those top four teams, but certainly that's better than nothing. You know, and it is amazing. I understand the politics behind it and the money behind it and the powers that are the bowl games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But these people look like they're looking for a pat on the back where they're finally coming into the 20th century, never mind the 21st century. But finally announced yesterday, it seems pretty clear that starting in 2014, which, again, that means you have the entire 2012 college football season, the entire 2013 football season. I don't think they're talking about January 1, 2014, although you hope they are. There will be probably a four-team playoff. And again, what can you say? Better late than never. I think it's the only sport, the only division that doesn't have some kind of playoff. Even the other Division II, Division III, they all have playoffs in football. except D1 football. So it's absurd, but hopefully, finally, it's going to end, but you're still going to have to wait a couple more years. A couple of quick NFL notes. Interestingly, Commissioner Goodell, you know, here's the draft, one of the biggest off-season night, if you will, of the year, and he had to answer questions about whether how embarrassing the Pro Bowl is. They're trying to change the Pro Bowl. They're trying to make it more relevant. As you know, they put it in the week between the championship games and the Super Bowl rather than the week after the Super Bowl. It's kind of irrelevant wherever it is, especially in football where nobody really wants to hit anybody. It's not quite like a baseball game or a basketball game. But the Pro Bowl may actually be suspended for a year or two. They're trying to make it, you know, Commissioner Goodell says, oh, the fans don't deserve this. It's not up to the quality of game. It's not up to the NFL standard. So they're going to try and fix it. I have no idea how they're going to fix it, but that was some news yesterday. And Mickey Loomis, the GM of the New Orleans Saints, who has been suspended the first eight games of the 2012 season for Bounty Gate, if you will, now has been accused, as you probably heard by now, of re-rigging some wiring so he could listen into the opposing coaches' signals and conversations. He adamantly denied that yesterday, and it's really, you know, anybody who knows me and people are coming to his defense, but the problem is here's a guy who one way or the other was involved in Bounty Gate, was suspended eight games for this coming season, appealed the suspension and got no reduction in that suspension. So frankly, the benefit of the doubt goes against him now. I'm not saying he did this or didn't do it. It sounds kind of weird that someone would actually do that, because if that was proven, this guy might get thrown out of the league forever. But he strongly denied it yesterday. And frankly, all we're waiting for now are New Orleans. Well, really two things, waiting to see if Drew Brees gets his long-term contract and waiting to see what, if anything, the penalties are going to be for those players who participated in Bounty Gate, if you will. And again, I don't think the players should really, if they did participate, they're following orders. If your coach comes in, what are you going to do, stand up in the locker room and say, that's ridiculous, I'm not going to do that? I mean, I don't know what these guys were supposed to do. They're the players, and they're being coached by the coaches. So you'd have to show me proof that they tried to hurt somebody, and then maybe they would get some kind of suspension or that. But I think in the NFL, it's a fine line, frankly, between playing aggressively, playing hard, and then really going out of your way to hurt somebody. So that's it for the NFL for now. I want to switch now to the NBA and just some notes on a few games yesterday. Chicago clinched the number one seed. They bury Cleveland 107-75. John Lucas III, who has been a nice backup, scored a career-high 25. You know, when Derrick Rose can't play between C.J. Watson and John Lucas III, they have some good subs. That's not going to get them to the promised land. But it is interesting to see these guys step up when given an opportunity. Kobe Bryant decided not to play yesterday and essentially deeded the scoring title, if you will, to Kevin Durant. Durant beats Bryant by 17 hundredths of a point. The Lakers did lose, but it didn't, you know, it was an irrelevant game. The Lakers locked into the 3 seed. They will play the number 6 seed Nuggets. The Nuggets won their final four. They beat Minnesota 111-100. Interesting thing here, if you follow Brad Miller's career, an interesting big man, a number of years with the Pacers, etc. He was just a bench player from Minnesota. He got to play yesterday, retiring after 14 seasons in the NBA, where his career numbers aren't bad, 11.7 rebounds, 3 assists a game. In fact, the players on Minnesota all wore headbands, because if you remember Brad Miller, the big center, he was actually well known for wearing a headband his entire career. A few other things, the Charlotte Hornets lose their 23rd straight to the Knicks. The Knicks lock into the number 7 seed to play the number 2 Miami Heat, probably something they didn't want, probably wanted to climb up to number 6 but couldn't catch the Magic after the Magic beat the Bobcats the night before, last night, where the Knicks beat the Bobcats last night. They didn't drop to number 8. Philly lost their final game as well. Knicks 104, Charlotte 84. Charlotte finishes 7-59. It's the worst winning percentage in the history of the NBA. Of course, those 72-73 Philadelphia 76ers were 9-73. So percentage-wise, 7-59 is a little worse, 106 win percentage. Paul Silas, to the very end, you know, obviously frustrated coaching a team that lost 23 in a row. He did say, quote, "Thank God this isn't my first job," close quote, because obviously he knows if it was his first job, he would be fired. You know, now the word's coming out, Michael Jordan, the owner, is still going to fight this. He's going to move on. He's going to do his best. He's going to turn this around. But again, we've seen this 100 times. The guys who are the super-duper stars, they step out of super-duper stardom as players, and they have a lot of trouble. I mean, you could say Jerry West may be the one exception, but Larry Bird has done okay. Isaiah Thomas, not very well. Now, Michael Jordan, as an owner, obviously a disaster. Magic Johnson didn't last as a coach of the Lakers. He just couldn't take it. So Charlotte is so far away. I don't think it matters who the owner is. I don't think it matters who the coach is. It's going to be hard for them to turn it around quickly again. 7-59. It really doesn't get much worse than that. The Atlanta Hawks clinched home court advantage as they buried Dallas in Atlanta. Dallas really nothing to play for. Atlanta 106, Dallas 89. So here are your playoff series. In the NBA, number one Bulls, number eight Philly. Obviously, the higher seed gets home court advantage in all these. The number two Heat against the number seven Knicks. Number three Indy against number six Orlando. And again, Orlando with no Dwight Howard in the playoffs, so it's going to be very hard for them to win. Obviously, you like the Bulls and the Heat in the first two series. And then an interesting series, the Hawks with that win, they get a better record, even though the Celtics won their division in the NBA. Home court advantage goes to the team with the better record. That's the Hawks. So they will have the home court advantage against the Celtics. I think, obviously, the Celtics now can get it together for one more run. They looked very strong down the stretch if they can stay healthy, a big if. But if they can stay healthy, I think they can win that series as well. Out in the West, surprising to me, the number one Spurs being number one, they get the number eight Jazz. The number two Thunder against the number seven now Mavericks. And again, you know, the Mavericks, we talked about it all year, no Tyson Chandler, no J.J. Barea, no championship. Hard to believe that Mark Cuban let those guys leave. But he did, so you have to like the Thunder. I'm still going with the Thunder and the Heat. Obviously, that's been kind of the pick all year pretty much. But certainly the Thunder can be beaten. Certainly the Heat can be beaten. I like the Heat to win the whole thing. Certainly they've shown a propensity for playing poorly on the road. We'll have to see how that shakes out. The number three Lakers should beat the number six Nuggets, and as often happens, the 4-5 game is an interesting the 4-5 series is the most interesting series in the West. It's Memphis against the Clippers. Now, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, I kind of like them. I thought they could make a run at a championship. To me, watching them play the second half of the year kind of shows you they need another year, but I think they will. Now, Memphis is a very good team, but I think the Clippers will get by Memphis. I think Chris Paul will come to the fore. Just a couple of other comments on the final day of the season. The New Jersey Nets played their last game in New Jersey, finishing another woeful series, 22-44. They get hammered by the Raptors in Toronto. Raptors 98, Nets 67. Miami with nothing to play for. The Washington Wizards going home, but they hammer the Miami Heat 104-70. The 76ers, with at least in theory something to play for, get hammered by Detroit in Detroit 108-86. Ben Gordon has 7 threes for 26 points to finish the year. The Jazz beat the Trailblazers 96-94. The Rockets beat the Hornets 84-77. The Celtics beat the Bucks 87-74. The Nuggets buried the Timberwolves. I didn't give you the score, 131-102. And the Kings did beat the Lakers, and again, a meaningless game for the Lakers where Kobe sat out, 113-96. So the NBA playoffs get underway tomorrow. The NHL playoffs, one game tonight, as we discussed. We'll get to the TV. There's not a whole lot tonight, but really, with both playoffs going, it'll be unbelievable tomorrow. And if you're a New York fan, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, the Rangers play their first second-round playoff game. At 3:30, the Knicks play their first-round playoff game. At 4 o'clock, the Yankees play. Not the greatest scheduling by the NHL. They should have moved the Rangers to either earlier in the day or later that night. Obviously, if you're a Knicks Ranger fan, most people will watch the Knicks. But the Rangers have a fantastic following as well. That's just an interesting thing if you're a New York fan for tomorrow. Want to get to Major League Baseball, a few interesting games. Philip Humber off his perfect game. Starts against the Red Sox. He walks the first batter, so obviously that was pretty much over before it started. But not a good outing for Humber after his perfect game. 5 innings pitched, 8 hits, 9 runs, all earned, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts, 3 home runs as the Red Sox hammer the White Sox. Red Sox 10, White Sox 3. Now, the Red Sox, an interesting team. You know, they've been getting a lot of grief. Bobby Valentine getting booed, blowing a 9-0 lead to the Yankees. But the Red Sox have now gone from 4-10 to 8-10. They've won 4 games in a row. Jared Saltalamacchia hit 2 home runs yesterday, his 3rd and 4th of the year. Kevin Youkilis, hopefully not responding to what Bobby Valentine said about it, which was kind of stupid. Youkilis, a big gamer, a big-time guy, plays hurt, blah, blah, blah. He hit his 2nd of the year, a grand slam. So Boston gets out to a 7-0 lead after 3, 7-1 lead after 3, I'm sorry, and they coast to a 10-3 victory. Sweeney, the right fielder, 2-for-5, hitting .383. Youkilis 3-for-4 with that grand slam, 4 RBIs, 2 runs scored, his average up to .241. Saltalamacchia with the 2 home runs, he's hitting .261. For the White Sox, Paul Konerko 2-for-4, hitting .365. And Vecito, the left fielder, 2-for-4. Those are the only two guys with more than one hit. Felix DuBronc gets the win, he's 1-0. This will make you laugh, but Tozawa gets his first save of the year. Why in a 10-3 game? Because he pitched 3 innings. And part of the save rule is if you pitch 3 innings, you get a save no matter what the score. So when he came in, the score was 9-3, but Tozawa gets his first save of the year. Humber takes the loss. He's 1-1. Again, obviously, he didn't pitch very well. A few other games to talk about in Major League Baseball. Believe it or not, the Mariners, yes, the Mariners sweep the Tigers. Mariners 5, Tigers 4. Furbush gets the win. He's 1-1. Porcello takes the loss. He's 1-2. Justin Smoke and Olivo hit home runs for Seattle. Miguel Cabrera, still the best hitter in baseball for my money, at least in the American League. Maybe you can argue Matt Kemp. He hits his 6th of the year. The Tigers 10-9, going to play the Yankees tonight. Verlander pitching against the Yankees. The Mariners, with that sweep, get to .500. They're 10-10. Tampa Bay beats the Angels 4-3 on a 2-run homer by Brandon Allen in the bottom of the 9th. One of those walk-off, pound-them-at-the-plate jobs. Tampa Bay losing 3-2 going into the bottom of the 9th. But Allen, who was just picked up on waivers a couple of weeks ago, I think from Oakland, hits a 2-run homer and immediately ingratiates himself to his team. The Rays now 12-7, the Angels 6-13. And what are you going to say? You know, everybody's watching every at-bat for Pujols. No home runs yesterday. Rays 4, Angels 3. The surprising Orioles move to 12-7. They beat the now 10-9 Blue Jays 5-2. O'Day gets the win. He's 2-0. Jensen takes the loss. He's 1-1. Jones hits his 6th. Davis hits his 3rd for Baltimore. Again, the Orioles, to me, one of the early surprises of the year. Royals now win 2 in a row. They beat the Indians 4-2 after that 12-game losing streak. Mendoza gets the win. He's 1-2. Tomlin takes the loss. He's 1-2. In the National League, just 3 games. The Giants beat the Reds 6-5. Giants get over the .500 mark. Lopez gets the win. He's 2-0. Marshall takes the loss. He's 0-2. Angel Pagan hit a 3-run homer in the top of the 9th. That was the difference. Bruce and Roland both hit home runs for Cincinnati. Bruce his 4th. Roland his 2nd. The Mets, believe it or not, sweep the Marlins. The Mets now 11-8. The Marlins 7-11. Jose Reyes comes into New York for three games and loses all three. Mets 3, Marlins 2. Ramirez gets the win in relief. He's 2-1. Heath Bell walks four guys in a row in the bottom of the ninth as the Mets score 2 to win. He's 0-3. Kirk Nieuwenhuis with the game-winning single over the right fielder's head to win the game in the bottom of the ninth as the Mets get 2 in the ninth to beat the Marlins 3-2 and sweep the Marlins the three-game set. The Mets now 11-8. Sanchez gets his first of the year for Miami, his first home run of the year. And finally, the Padres with 2 in the bottom of the eighth beat the Nationals 2-1. Cashner gets the win. He's 1-1. Tyler Clipper takes the loss. He's 1-2. Houston Street gets his second save of the year. Jason Worth hits his second home run of the year for the Nationals to give them the early lead, but it's not enough. Padres 2, Nationals 1. Nationals still with the best record in the National League at 14-5. Padres move up to 6-14. TV tonight, again, no basketball. One NHL playoff game. Round 2, Predators at Coyotes. 9 o'clock Eastern, that's on the NBC Sports Channel. Baseball, the Yankees, Tigers at the Yankees, Verlander against Ivan Nova, 7 o'clock Eastern on the YES Network, 7 o'clock Eastern on the MLB Network, the Cubs at the Phillies, and if you get the SNY, the Mets Network, the Mets go out to Colorado off their three-game sweep of Miami, Mets at Rockies, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the Steve Kallis Show, where it's SportsTalkNetwork.com.